Well, we're starting a brand new year together. And on the heels of 2020, what on earth is 2021 going to be looking like? I just would like to talk to you for a little while today. We've kind of changed up the format. I don't even know whether to call this a sermon or just a heart-to-heart chat, but I'd like to talk to you about 2021 and starting this new year, facing this new year with faith. Now, at the beginning of every year, I usually take two scripture verses that are on my heart, and I have them printed on a little white card and give them to everybody on our pastoral team so that they can tape them to their computer monitors or keep them on their desks. And one of the two verses last year for 2020 was Psalm 20 and verse 7, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God." And who would have thought that by mid-March of 2020, our horses and chariots would be taken away from us, so to speak. I never thought I'd pastor a church that wouldn't even meet in live meetings for 4 months, and let alone almost a year later, still to have half that congregation still not feeling comfortable being out in a crowd. I never thought we'd walk through something like this, but we've been trusting in the name of the Lord, and He's just proven faithful to that, even though our horses and chariots, the things we normally depend on as a church, have been in large part taken away from us. But I want to share with you today, this first weekend of the new year, the two verses that I'm going to be giving to our pastoral team to keep in front of them all year. And the first one comes out of the Revelation series we just finished this past fall. I can't get away from this verse. It's where in Revelation 21, verse 5, John writes, "And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." I just feel like new's our world, our word. Obviously, we're going to be reopening, I hope, sometime in 2021. Things will be new relative to what they've been the last number of months. But I just feel beyond that, we serve a God who makes things new. And this is where our faith can really focus, our confidence can be. The other verse is out of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. This verse has just been resonating in my spirit as we come into this new year, where Paul said to the Philippian church, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." I'm going to be praying that verse for you a lot this year. I'm going to be praying it for my family, for my life. But here's this amazing certainty. I just feel like God's put this in my heart for 2021, that we can enter this year with faith. Not because we know what's going to happen this coming year, but faith because here's what we do know for sure. My God's going to supply all your needs. Whatever your needs are going to look like this year, my God's going to provide those needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So I'd like to unpack those two verses a little bit after I just reflect on something I'm grateful for, some things that I just find myself thankful for right now, and then reflect with you on something I've read recently. And that'll lead us to unpacking these two verses. First of all, in spite of all the things I did not enjoy about 2020, I am thankful for several things. First of all, I'm thankful for your patience and prayer as a congregation. It's been a year where I've second-guessed myself a lot. It's been a year where I think I've lost some confidence in my ability to lead when so many of the tools of leadership have been taken away. It's not been an easy year for me personally this year, but I'm grateful. What I am grateful for is that you've prayed for us and that you've been really patient. And I know many of you have had some very strong views on how soon we should be reopening or how long we should be waiting until we reopen. And all of this has gotten politicized this last year on top of it. But I'm grateful instead of, you know, we've tried to make the best decisions we can, whether we've been too slow or too fast. I mean, this has been part of the challenge of leadership. It is hard to tell. But thank you. You've been so patient and flexible. You haven't been writing nasty emails or criticizing or being divisive. You've been really patient. And instead of arguing, you've prayed. I've heard a lot of stories of a lot of pastors who've just been torn apart emotionally this year because of divisions in their church over reopening or not reopening and politics. And you have not been that way. And I'm so grateful for this amazing church family. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for choosing patience and for also your prayer. And I want to thank you for your financial giving this past year. It's been amazing to see what God's done. Actually, who would have thought, but even though we weren't even having any live services for months, and even though right now we're only in that 50 to 60% of pre-COVID attendance, we have exceeded our budget for this year. And our giving is higher than it was last year. And I'm so grateful for that. And then 2020, our five-year project that has just ended on December 31st, the end of 2020, we are going to be sharing some great news with you that there's going to be cause for incredible celebration because we've gone over the top. Thank God for that. I'm grateful for your giving. And I'm so grateful for all of our amazing volunteers. Listen, our volunteers have really pushed life forward. Some of our volunteers are having to work. Some of our volunteers are leading online life groups, small groups. They haven't even been face-to-face in terms of real life interaction in person with their group members. They've only seen their group members on Zoom, but you know what? They're leading. And others, once we started reopening live services on Sunday morning, we needed children's volunteers, and all the way through we've needed youth volunteers, and we've needed lobby hosts and sanctuary hosts, and we've needed worship leaders, and we needed usher. I mean, all of these things. Thank you for the amazing volunteers you've been. Some of you have taken some risks. You've kind of swallowed your fear and come to church anyway because you were needing to volunteer, and you wanted to make a difference, and you wanted to support the life of the church. So thank you for that. And I also want to, I'm grateful. I just want to thank the Central Church staff. They've been an amazing team to work with. We still don't have most of our staff meetings face-to-face, and so it's made it extra hard. I feel like I've been leading with one hand tied behind my back. Can't even be face-to-face with a lot of the team I love. But I especially, and I hope they don't cut me off here because they're our video people. You know, a year ago we hired Colin Ray, and he has a real estate business on the side, but you know, we hired him, and he's made such an incredible difference. We didn't know that video and online work would be our only lifeline to all of you for a while. And working with him, Caleb Scholey and Bobby Carringer, and Sam Arzuni, and then others of you who've been volunteering, thank you for our amazing video team. Thank you to our admin team, our administrative team, my personal assistant, Sharon Fazen, and Pastor Carter, who runs the day-to-day operations of the church and is often here day and night, and our whole pastoral and leadership team and other admin leaders. I tell you, there's a lot of things I haven't enjoyed about 2020, but I just wanted to say a special thanks. I just wanted to give a shout out to all of you who have been volunteering, who have been serving, who've been giving, who have been praying. Thank you. What an amazing church family we have here. You can imagine, as the pastor of a larger church, I get sent a lot of things. And I have to be honest with you, I can't keep up with it all. And I don't honestly read every book I'm sent and every article I'm sent. But this one caught my attention. It was a pretty short article, but it was entitled, "Why You Should Lower Your Expectations for 2021 Starting Now." And it was written by Kerry Newhoff. And Kerry Newhoff is followed by he's a blogger and a podcaster. And he's probably followed by tens of thousands of pastors all over the world right now. And he wrote in a short, succinct way, five reasons why we should lower our expectations for 2021. Now, I'm about to get back to those two verses and talk about how we ought to face 2021 with faith. But I think this helps us understand the why behind that a little bit. Let me quickly run through his five reasons for lowering our expectations, because it doesn't sound like faith, right? But I think this is why we can go into 2021 with incredible faith. Number one, he writes, the shutdown happened overnight. The reopening will be far more gradual and intermittent. I would also say it's also much more complicated reopening than shutting down. But it happened overnight. But the reopening is going to be far more gradual. In fact, this is what he says. It might take a while longer for most people to feel comfortable being in crowded public spaces. And some of the pattern changes people have adopted during COVID will likely be permanent. A second reason to lower expectations for 2021 is this. Number two, normal is being redefined even as we speak. That's the word we probably heard bat around more than any other word. The normal and the new normal that might be coming, but it's being redefined even as we speak. He writes this, we will eventually settle into some kind of normalcy, and that's likely to have a strange and unpredictable mix of familiar and new pattern. We don't know what normal is going to look like for most people 9 or 10 months from now, if we even get back to anything that looks like normal in 2021. Number three, the biggest certainty is unpredictability. Well, aren't you happy for that? The biggest certainty is unpredictability. He writes, the last few decades are filled with companies, organizations, and churches that died because things changed and they didn't. And what has COVID done? COVID's done nothing but accelerate that. Things changed, but they didn't, and they died as a result. That could happen to Central Assembly, apart from the grace of God upon us. And we are, my personally biggest challenge was, how do I lead this past year? How do I lead a congregation with some kind of clarity and certainty when there's nothing but uncertainty and unpredictability all around us right now? But that is going to be our biggest certainty, that things will remain unpredictable. And so we have to be adaptable. We have to be flexible. We have to be willing to change, to not complain about the obstacles, but always look for the opportunities. Number four, a healthy rhythm now means you might not make it to then. And this is largely, of course, he writes to pastoral leaders, but I think it's something here that applies to every one of us. Let's not wait till this crisis is over to develop healthy rhythms in our lives. Well, when this is over, I'll get back to exercising. Well, when this is over, I'll get back to eating right. Well, when this is over, I'll get back to staying connected with people. No, a healthy rhythm now means, or an unhealthy rhythm now means you might not make it to then. In fact, here's what he writes specifically. Finding a healthy rhythm during a crisis is essential to being okay after the crisis. And then number five, the greatest leaders confront the brutal facts, but they never lose hope. Here he's taking a page out of Jim Collins' famous book, Good to Great. And he writes specifically this, crisis leadership falls apart when leaders embrace the extremes. Pessimists only see the real, and naive optimists only see the ideal. And this, he says, is as where leaders bog down. When you live in the extremes, where all you see is the real in front of you, you can't see beyond that. Or you're just naive and you're kind of living in denial of what's real for the sake of being optimistic about the future. And he said great leaders live on both ends of that spectrum. They confront the brutal facts. Sometimes, in fact, with faith, we think faith is denying reality. Faith is not denying reality. Faith is facing reality, but seeing beyond it. because faith operates in the invisible realm. In fact, starting this Monday of the first full week of this new year, I'm going to stand in this very studio and continue to bring the daily central moment devotions, the 5 or 6 minute devotions we do every day. And I'm starting this week by walking through Hebrews 11, that great chapter on faith. They call it the Hall of Faith. And we're going to take one day at a time, the great faith heroes that are listed for us in Hebrews 11. Because I want us not to live in denial about what's real. None of those faith heroes in chapter 11 of Hebrews lived in denial about what was real. They faced the brutal facts of all the uncertainties and all the brutal realities around them. But they saw beyond them. They lived for things they could not see, centered in the character and the provision of God. And that's how I want us to face 2021. Let's not deny the realities of what continues to be of epidemics and shutdowns and restrictions. Let's not live in denial of that. Let's not live in denial of our family problems and our health issues. But let's not let that define us. Let's by faith look past what we see in front of us. See, our hope is in facing reality, but looking past it by faith. That's our hope. And that's how I want to enter 2021 with you. I want to face reality, but do it with hope because we look past reality through the eyes of faith that see into the invisible realm. So I come back to the two verses I shared with you at the beginning that are really on my heart. These two verses that I'm going to be giving to our whole staff team to keep in front of them for this coming year. And it's first of all, just reminding me that I serve the God by faith. I see beyond the realities of uncertainty in this new year. I see the reality of a God who makes all things new. Revelation 21:5, there it is again. He who is seated on the throne, that's the God, the ruler of the universe and of all eternity. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Everything new. The word new is used 7 times in the book of Revelation, actually. It talks about a new name being given to us twice, about a new song when Jesus' life and power fill us. And Revelation talks about the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth. And then it culminates with that verse in Revelation 21. I am making everything, and for the 7th time, everything new. And one of the great things about life in Jesus is this new, obviously the new heavens and the new earth, our future. But the God who makes all things new is already active in us. Like when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And so new is future, but it's now as well. It's already. And I just want you to encourage you that as we go into 2021, looking past the realities to the God who makes everything new, that newness of the Lord can really begin to flow through our lives. I want you to focus on a God who's making things new, even when you're frustrated, even when you're not sure the decision to make, even though at work you're trying to project out a few months, but you don't even know if people will still be able to travel or whether we'll have in-person meetings or whether this pandemic will just get totally out of control. We just don't know. But what we do know is we're lined up with a God who's not limited by our circumstances, but is constantly making all things new. And so on a very practical level, I'd like to invite you to dream. If you serve a God, if I serve a God who makes everything new, then let's dream about what new could look like. And if I could just really bring that down to a practical reality, let's dream by right now, at the beginning of this new year, starting to plan now for what normal ought to look like later in our lives. Let's start dreaming right now. In the name of the God who makes all things new. I mean, what do we want normal, quote unquote, to look like later after this pandemic is over and after the restrictions and the lockdowns have been lifted and our economy comes back to life and family life allows us to interact more often. I mean, what does normal look like? What ought it to look like after this is over? I want to invite you to start dreaming that. Because one of the things 2020 has done for us that I think is a wonderful thing, with all of its lockdowns and restrictions, it's helped us to figure out what's essential versus those things that we could live without. And I think many of us are finding, you know, I used to live with such a cluttered, busy schedule. Now, COVID's made that impossible. But to our amazement, there are some things in our lives we're learning that, we could live without. In fact, I talk to people and they say, when we get back to quote-unquote normal, I'm not dreaming about being as busy as I used to be. I want to live a more focused life. I want to really focus on the things that are important. And the shutdowns with COVID have forced us to figure out, like, what is really non-negotiable in my life? What can I not live without versus what kind of things could I live without? And I think you're going to find, actually, that the things you can't live without are really focused on those three things that we really represent as a whole church family. You know, we talk all the time about God, people, and purpose. We're here to connect people to God and connect people to one another and to connect people to their purpose in life. And this is the God-given purpose that God's given each one. And those are the non-negotiables in our lives. And it'd be wonderful if what our lives look like when we get past this really embodied just those basic essential things. And we actually left more room just for time with God, like COVID's afforded some of us with the slowdown in our schedules. And the priority of connecting with people, especially if you've been really isolated, you just know we can't survive long in isolation. We need to be with people. We need to be conversing with people and growing in Jesus with other people. We need to be in small groups where we're praying for each other. We know each other well enough to know how to pray specifically for other people. And we need to be living out our purpose in life. We need to be serving, reaching out of ourselves. Those are the non-negotiables about how God's created us. We need Him and we need others and we need purpose in life. And if the normal, after all of this is over, could have less clutter in it, less things pushing out, just being connected to God and being parts of small groups where we're praying and growing spiritually with other people and we're able to reach out of ourselves and serve and share the gospel with other people, it'd be great if life after this is all over, sometime in 2021 or maybe 2022, I mean, I'm just dreaming now that my life can be more focused when we get to that place, focused around those things that are non-negotiable. How we serve a God who says, I just make everything new. You know, habits can change and patterns can change and life choices can change. And so as we enter this new year with faith, we don't want to just be bogged down about all the problems, but we're just excited that we can start dreaming right now about places of new focus and new fulfillment in life and new obedience to Jesus when all of this is over. And that brings me to the other verse. In the midst of all, we can do this. Why? Because Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's the other verse I feel we're to carry. And it becomes our altar call right now, saying whatever you face, your God can carry you through. My God will, not might or if he feels like it, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you that you make all things new. Lord, we're entering as a church family a brand new year where the only certainty is unpredictability. None of us know how fast things are going to go. None of us know the direction things are going to head in our country, in our culture, in our world this next year. But thank you, you make all things new. And I pray that old patterns will shed from us. I pray, Lord, that those things we've learned to live without that aren't actually that important in the first place, I pray they'll stay out of our lives, and that the newness of being focused on you and loving you with all of our hearts and growing with other believers and being full of the Holy Spirit, I pray, God, in serving you that these, Lord, you will help new to just blossom and flourish in all those areas in our lives. Give us wisdom as a church, as a leadership team. We're asking ourselves right now, what does normal look like for Central Assembly as a whole when this is all over and we can all meet together again? My God, guide us. Help us not just to reclutter our lives, but to be focused upon those most important things. And we thank you that for every day we take, and we just declare it by faith over our lives, our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for that. If our need is forgiveness, we pray you'll provide that because Jesus died on the cross for us. And if you need to just to open your heart to Jesus' forgiveness, perhaps for the very first time, just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I love you. And I pray that you will forgive my sin. And I pray that you will fill me with your life. Hallelujah. And I just believe that the God who makes all things new can make you new. And he can fill you with the riches of his glory. And for those of us who do follow you, Lord, help us not to be overwhelmed with the brutal facts of everything that surrounds us, but help us to be filled with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to lead us through this new year. Thank you. We face it with faith. Faith in the God who makes all things new. Faith in the God who supplies all of our needs according to your glory in Christ Jesus. So yes to that. Praise God to that. So be it to that. May you lead us forward with courage and faith, we pray. In Jesus' name.